Welcome to episode 118 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. In today's episode, we will be drinking a quad of kind of mellower beers. And we are recording outside in the lovely Maryland, Clarksburg, Maryland countryside.
In the height of spring and chirpy birdie time.
Yes, but also vehicles driving by, so ignore the vehicles and enjoy the birds.
Pretend it's like calm waves crashing on the ocean, like a gentle white noise.
The first beer is from Elder Pine, which we talked a little bit about last episode, which is a country brewery. It's not really a farm as much as...
Well, they do grow hops on the
premises. Oh, they do. Let's call it a farm brewery. It has the characteristics.
It's definitely a sub bourbon.
An ex-urban
brewery. Got a lot of property, got a wonderful field of pines.
And this is their Mexican style lager, if I didn't say that already.
Has great artwork following along. It almost in the style of combination of death metal. There's like, you know, like Death Day type artistry mixed with perhaps Asian inspired, because it kind of looks like one of those.
The bonsai
like Kyoto tree thing. Bonsai, yeah. Kind of thing going. And a farmer. So it's a good fusion. And that does look like he's holding a heart. Doesn't that look like a heart?
Yes.
Very interesting label.
All right. Anyway. This beer is pretty clear, light straw color. Not super light.
Effervescent, tight
white
head. Yeah,
bubbles still coming up. Maybe a tiny bit of haziness in there. I don't know if that's the...
Man, it smells like a Mexican beer.
Definitely does. It has that sweet Mexican beer smell.
So this is one of those things, like, are we going to have to, like, with some lime juice?
Let's go clear first.
Well, that's pretty good.
Mexican lagers and beers, kind of a new trend at many brewpubs, microbreweries.
So I'm wondering with him, with this skeleton Death Day looking thing holding husks of corn and one corn cob, is if they're using corn. Do we have any information on the ingredients in it? Cerveza Viejo Pino, Mexican-style lager. Is there any marketing material about this?
Oh, no.
The 6 minutes of prep. So, in the interim, we've been using this visit time to try to get a bunch of episodes, so we didn't want to be repetitive in our recent beer experiences. But we did have a new beer experience I will share while we're pulling up the first material. So Chris is in visiting Maryland from out of town, and one of his hypotheses in the last couple of days is, I think this trip has been too long. Because he arrived Sunday night, but arrived here Monday afternoon, and we've been hanging out. Now, I've been perfectly happy, but I know I'm terrible to live with, so.
It's not because of you.
Well, thank you. But one of the events that happened this morning, because it's a weekend, I have these to-do lists I've been giving myself, and I started out by trying to do some organizing of my garage.
Yes.
And Chris, as the good soul that he is, found me outside and started pitching in, and next thing you know, my entire garage was emptied out and then reorganized to a degree.
We were trying to see if your car would even fit in the garage.
That was the thing. We measured the car with very detailed measuring devices.
Yeah, ignore that.
That's a hog. We used a nylon rope to get a precision measurement of both the length and width of the vehicle. Then we thumbnailed it in the garage and we're like, yeah, that'll probably fit. Then weaving between everything we had pulled out of the garage, and with the assistance of my son and Chris making sure I didn't scrape anything, I did park my... and the reason we're doing all of this is because I finally have a car worth putting in a garage.
Yes, the sporty little Audi coupe, two-door coupe there.
So without damaging the vehicle, got the car in. It did actually fit.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge was, how are you going to open the doors, things like that.
And
so,
all the stuff that we took out, where does that go?
And where does it go afterwards? So pulling the car back. But how this relates to recent beer experiences is that we were putting some extra podcast in our podcast repository last night. And we may have overdone it and came to the end of the evening unable to complete some of our beverages, including a barley wine from way, way earlier in the week. And I decided, hey, while we're working the garage, after we shotgun some Miller Lights, let's finish off these beers. So I did, what's the word? I didn't compel you. I strongly urged us.
Well, you handed me a glass with beer in it.
Yes. And you took one sip.
Which
was
is about
this
what
is
it takes.
Fucking terrible. And threw that one out. Let me try some of that other beer that was only in the fridge since last night.
Yeah, which was good still. The Landmade Farm Brewery stuff was still good the next
And that was really the whole point of all of this extra speech was that shit held up overnight without a cap in the fridge and it still tastes delicious in the morning. Both the Flourish and the Spring.
And the Spring 23.
Yummy beverages to start the day, which inspired us to do a podcast outside.
Yes.
And that brings us to
as far as information about this beer, nothing on the Elder Pine webpage other than 4.7% alcohol by volume.
So that's not a terribly heavy beer.
No, not terribly heavy. All right. Shall we grab the next beer? And then I want to talk a little bit about podcast stats.
Do we need a citrus edition? I think this stands out okay.
It's fine.
This one doesn't, unlike the clown shoes, which tasted better after the infusion, I am getting like some sweet notes. I'm wondering, there must be corn in this because it's got that kind of sweet taste going.
Yeah.
And it's got that,
I mean, it tastes like a good Mexican lager, right?
Yeah. But better than...
Better than Corona, say.
Because I don't feel the need to have to mix it with some lime.
More the kind of Dos Equis and Modelo and level than the Corona level. Or the Pacifico
Dos Equis,
level.
You mean?
What did I say?
Dos Equis.
Okay.
See, we've been doing this for 10 years. I don't let shit slide with Chris. But I mispronounced...
You said Scythe.
And I said Sith because that's what the bartender said. But perhaps she was thinking of Cynthians and or Revenge of the Sith.
I do like the art on their cans, though.
Right?
Really cool stuff.
It is really cool.
And this brewery, just to remind you from last episode, very cool brewery. Highly recommend checking it out. They do say, John was joking, they say Gaithersburg on there as the location. No, you're in Sunshine, guys.
Yeah, I mean, technically, it's Gaithersburg.
Yeah, maybe the mailing address is, but you're in Sunshine.
Yeah, it's about as far from Gaithersburg as you could be.
As we are right now.
Yeah, it is not G-Burg in smell.
It's definitely not downtown Gaithersburg.
No.
I know downtown
Gaithersburg. Home of the Trojans.
Yes. Anything else to say about this beer before we pour the next one? All right, let's see. Which you pick... Maybe not the carrot one.
I'm not going to look.
Pick one of the others.
I'm not going to look.
The little one or the other big one?
I'm going to pull a can out, see what happens. Ah, it's another Elder Pine.
Okay.
It looks like the planet Jupiter or moon.
What's this one called?
This one's called Lemon Lime Reflections, a fruited Whitbeer. Oh, didn't I have Reflections in our sampling, but it wasn't fruited?
You may have had this beer there, yeah.
I just had straight up Reflections.
We bought this one before we'd been to the brewery.
That's
at
right.
The Cedar Grove store down here, which is a great beer store, by the way.
We should definitely plug the Cedar Grove store.
I think
excellent
we did
selection
before,
of beer.
But we'll do it again now.
Except they do not like True Respite, and I've been talking about True Respite, very similar to like us getting an
but
interview.
But it wasn't
because
they don't like
the
beer, right?
They don't like the distributing people.
Yeah.
But this is ale brewed with lemon, lime, and coriander, 5% ABV.
Yeah.
And they have origami green and yellow, which I guess are the lemon and lime things descending from the sky.
Another cool looking can, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's the moon, but it also could be Jupiter, origami. It's very, very cool art. Very, very... might have to get some of that put on my wall. I'm looking for art pieces for my kitchen.
There you go. Yeah, this would be good. A little, or for the bar. The bar portion of your kitchen?
Oh, yeah.
Like where the TV is?
Where am I putting the Batman poster, though?
Pours a...
Cloudy.
Cloudy straw color. Light straw color.
Looks like
pretty
a,
light.
Looks like a nice Hefeweizen or a wit.
Or wit. Nice, beautiful, white, little bubble, puffy head.
Holding its
bubbles
head.
Are dropping, but yeah.
Oh, no.
It holds onto the glass a little bit. If you kind of twirl it around.
Well, definitely I'm getting the citrus on the nose.
Oh, yeah.
A little
if
bit
you
of
cup
sweet
it,
undertone.
If you cup it, you can really catch that. Or if you do what you do and shove your whole nose in the glass.
Yes. As if it were vino. Oh, wow. That is incredibly citrusy.
Ooh.
Is this like a shandy?
Lemon lime. It is lemon lime, right? I definitely get that. Lemon lime.
I mean, this is like a Sprite beer.
Yeah, I get. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost a. Yeah, it's close to a soda. I mean, it doesn't have that.
There's no sugar.
Sweetness, that sugar sweetness.
Yeah, but it's definitely got the tart. Oh, I like this. This is a good summer beer.
Yeah, this would be easy to sit out in a location like this. And
we are sitting outside. We worked hard. I mean, this
yes.
is the kind of beer you want after cleaning out a garage in 80-degree high humidity
yes.
right before a thunderstorm.
Yes. Yes. It's definitely moist out, a little humid in the air.
Yeah.
And this
moist.
Is a good
beer. Moist.
Hey, I'm from Colorado, man. It's super moist here.
Yeah.
I went out for a walk and I was sweating.
Right. Well, that could be the horrible unhealthiness that you are, you know, as opposed
that
to...
could be the extra 35 pounds I'm carrying.
Easy. No self-hatred on this podcast.
That's true. We are
now, I'm going to try a little bit of, since we have two cans of this.
Oh.
I'm going to take a little bit of
you're
this
do a blend.
Mexican cerveza.
And interestingly, I noticed, I didn't comment on it, but they have on their board the blend of the day or blend of the week.
Yeah.
Where it's like one of their beers and something else, or maybe two of their beers. I'm not exactly sure what it was, but they had it on a chalkboard right
oh,
behind
nice.
The bar.
Was this it?
I don't know, but
well,
the,
now
well,
we're
going to
do
it
this.
Is. And I'm it's the house blend of the week.
I think I did 3/4 Mexican, 1/4 lemon lime. Well, isn't that intriguing?
Yeah.
Have a sip of this. It kind of mutes the citrusy part of the just the whip
it
by
mellows
itself.
The lemon lime a little bit.
Right, and that corn taste is that sweetness helps blend out, and it now it tastes like almost like a high quality Bud Light lime.
All right, Mike, I'm going to talk a little bit about our podcast stats.
These unbelievable stats.
I don't know that we've done this before. Maybe when we did the 100th episode, but. I'm just going to talk year-to-date, so I got our stats year-to-date, number of
the
downloads.
The year we're currently in?
The year we're currently in, 2023. To April-ish.
Wait, we started doing, this is like, we've been doing this for 12 years.
Yes, we have.
Good God.
Total downloads in that period, 12,573. We had a big spike with the Revival Brews episode.
Was that a 5-digit number you just said?
That's a 5-digit number, Mike.
That is far beyond anything I've ever been privy to.
We had a couple good like spikes, 355 in the February episode, 451 that might be for the second Revival episode. Generally we get like 100 downloads an episode. That's like must be the number of people that subscribe to us, but like we'll publish on the socials and whatnot and then see like more people download
right.
than the standard. Like it's just in my podcast feed. The more interesting thing is like where our listeners are from. And we get like a graph breakdown.
Well, wait. More interesting than normally we have anywhere between 100 and 300. And all of a sudden we have 12,000. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. But I think the where listeners are from is pretty interesting. They give me a download map here. Let's go to list view. So... United's, let's order by downloads, largest to smallest. The highest is from the United States of America. Number two is Switzerland.
Yeah, baby.
Number three, Singapore. Number four, France with 100 downloads. Germany with 23. United States was 7,800. And Switzerland was 3,000. That's kind of odd.
3,000 in Switzerland?
Yeah, I don't know.
Some of this might be because I did ask ChatGPT some questions.
United Kingdom, 9. Ireland, 8. Ghana, 7 downloads from Ghana.
Now, that's been persistent. We've been getting downloads from Ghana for about like 10 years.
There's some listener in Ghana. Hey.
If you're the listener in Ghana.
Yeah, send us a message at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com and just say hi.
We would love to hear from you, and we'll figure out a way to send you some sort of token of appreciation.
I have 4 downloads for India. I work with a number of Indian folks, so it could be people stalking me from work. Spain, 3. Canada, couple. Austria, couple. Netherlands, 1. 1 play, like not download, from Mexico. A couple visits from China and Russia. Those are definitely bots. So anyway, and then the other interesting thing is the listening platforms or directories that we get the most downloads from. So Apple Podcasts is 1. Google Chrome Store is 2. And then Amazon, Spotify, Podcruncher, Alexa-enabled devices. Someone's probably like, play me a podcast. Alexa, play me a podcast about
enjoying beer.
Yeah, or something like that. So we're popping up there. So, I don't know. That's pretty cool. There's actually probably some people we don't know that listen to
our
podcast.
One of these days, we may actually get a sponsor.
So, if you're one of those folks that
we will shell your stuff for free. We just want a sponsor. Don't want money. We just want the legitimacy.
That's right. So, if you're one of these folks from a different place that we don't know, send us an email. We'd love to. And just say hi. Let us know you're real and not a bot.
Yeah, and we'll work for tasting glasses.
Yes.
Which I couldn't get from, what was it called?
Landmade.
They wouldn't give me any tasting glasses, and I'm too old to steal them now, apparently. I couldn't talk myself into doing it.
That's really nice. Yeah, you didn't have someone with a purse to...
That's really what it was. Because the other tasting glasses we're currently using, I did abscond with.
anything else to say about this beer? I thought it was really nice. I could definitely drink a bunch of these outside.
Oh, those lemon lime reflections?
You know what this would really be good with?
Some
cerveza? Mexican food.
With Mexican food.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, both of these beers.
Yeah, like a taco truck.
Like a taco some spicy taco.
Yeah, that place what was that called? Little Piggy or whatever we went to in Colorado?
Oh, yeah, Cochina.
Place was, that was some good
tacos.
Handmade
good
tacos and tamales.
Street food style tacos, yeah.
Really good.
I think it's called Cochina, something like that.
They had Conchon or the pig in it. Piggly Wiggly. So, next beer, just pull out a sample here.
Cochino Taco is what it was called.
Cochino Taco.
So, there's a couple locations in the Denver area. Delicious.
Highly, highly recommended. Oh, and when I talked to my peers that work in that general area, they all spoke highly of it as well.
All right, what'd you grab next, Mike?
Oh, I grabbed us a Black Flag Brewing Company Crispy Boy Grapefruit Kolsch.
Black Flag Brewing Company. Where are they?
Columbia, Maryland. And it's part of the Certified Crispy Boy series, which I guess they have a Crispy Boy series that are going on. But Black Flag, that was a punk rock band from our youth.
Yeah.
I believe that was relatively local, were they not?
Yes. DC based.
Yeah. And didn't they used to have a lead singer named Henry Rollins?
Yeah, that's right.
And then used to go on to host.
And their logo is kind of like punk-y looking, right?
Or a sail, like a big pirate flag.
Yeah.
Maybe he's playing both. But new glass, same glass.
Same glass is fine. I cleared it out.
All right. That's the benefit of being outside. We can toss our dregs over our... Oh, look at that nice color.
And what is this one called?
Grapefruit Kolsch.
Did you say that already?
I'd said it many times. So because we've been together for 13 years, we don't really hear each other anymore.
We listen past each other.
We are going to go to counseling. I know I've been saying this a lot lately, but this has a nice, frothy, fluffy, tightly bubbled white head.
Yeah, nice straw color with a little bit of haziness to it.
I definitely smell the grapefruit going on that.
I've had to cup the beers lately.
I'm not smelling much other than the citrus. I think there's a little hint of maltiness underneath, but...
Oh, like on the immediate pour on the tongue is like eating a grapefruit.
This is like grapefruit soda.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it, but I'm not getting any bitters of beer.
I think this is
a palate condition, Chris?
Maybe. I think the last one was a little more subtle, even though it was pretty in your face.
Yeah, this is very soda-ish.
Maybe less subtle.
Should I call down the untainted palate and see if he thinks it tastes like grapefruit soda or if he thinks it tastes like beer?
Yeah, you can ask.
That would cause us to pause and edit, so we're not doing that. Okay, this is an edit-free episode.
I cannot find anything on their webpage about their beers.
Not even about the Crispy Boy series?
They just don't have any information.
Well, had we done our 6 minutes of prep.
But yeah, as you said,
I mean, I already told the boring clean out the garage story. I'm not sure what I could use.
We
for filler
opened with
here.
That,
right? So I was like, I can't give you filler for anything.
Did you pull a Listomania?
I did pull a Listomania.
Right, let's go to that
to inspire us for what our afternoon has in store for us. So we all know I love Listomanias.
Yes, everyone loves a list.
And apparently, I cannot. Oh, there we go. So. We are in Clarksburg, Maryland,
yes.
Which if you were to look at a Google map or whatever, because everybody has supercomputers in their pockets now, we are not that far from a sort of a hub small city called Frederick, Maryland.
I believe the second largest city in Maryland.
Is it?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing Baltimore, then Frederick?
Baltimore, Frederick, and Rockville. Rockville was very close to Frederick.
Frederick's bigger than Rockville?
Yeah, they were very close. Mm. Rockville may have surpassed that.
Okay.
So it's top two. I mean, I have the internet right in front of me.
We're not a podcast about geography, nor demographic
Although I like
stats.
Geography.
But Frederick is an old historical city. It's got a
cool,
sister
old
city.
Cool old downtown.
It is distinct from most of the county that I reside in suffers from being a suburb of the Washington, D.C. area.
Yes.
So a lot of our personality and culture is stemming from our proximity to the nation's capital.
Frederick's far enough away to have a little bit of its own personality.
Frederick is self-contained. It is more traditional Maryland. So it has its roots in colonial Maryland. It's got its own history. It's like Chris said, it is far enough. It's also far enough away from Baltimore not to be influenced by Baltimore as a suburb. So it is kind of a standalone little burb. And within there, they have a great craft brew reputation.
Yes.
And our current Listomania.
Speaking like before you get to your Listomania, let me just do the top five by population in Maryland.
There we go.
We brought it up. Baltimore, number
one. Since
we
are Listomania.
563,000. Frederick, number two, 82,000. Gaithersburg, number three, 68,000. Rockville, number four, 66,000. And then Bowie, Maryland at 56. And it kind of drops from there pretty quickly.
Wow. Still, Bowie, Gaithersburg superseding Rockville.
Yeah.
Interesting. But there you go. So Frederick is a significant presence that does not have its own sporting teams. It does have a AAA baseball team, the Frederick
Yes.
Keys.
Yes.
So I got a list of the top five breweries, and we are, after doing some pre-gaming with this podcast, going to go and visit these breweries, and hopefully we can get there safely by our walking. If not, we'll be hitching rides here and there. So number five on our list is my particular well, I'll have to go through these, but my current favorite brewery in Frederick, Idiom Brewing.
Okay, yeah.
They always have excellent experimental beers. They have a nice selection. I think they usually have about 20 taps going. They're right on the Carroll Creek Walk. Very friendly people. They're dog-friendly inside and out. It's been a great place to meet up with folks and enjoy a nice beer.
Did we have one of those in the past few episodes?
Yeah, our devil's lettuce, I believe, was a.
We had a couple.
I think we had
them.
Two. We had two Idiom Brewing ones.
Devil's lettuce and poor sap.
Yes, and you know what the Listo people say about Idiom Brewing is not much. This is terrible Listomania. It's a cool brewery, definitely worth the stop. And so number four, which I just noticed, if you look at your tasting glass, where's that tasting glass from, Chris?
Proudly brewed in Frederick, Maryland.
Monocacy Brewing.
Oh, it doesn't say Monocacy on here.
It's the Monocacy. I can recognize it from its logo.
Didn't I mention Monocacy Brewing the other day? And you go like, you and John are like, I don't know if that's a brewery.
Yeah, probably. It's number four. And we will make sure we check that out today. And number three, Attaboy Beer.
Okay, yeah.
I believe that came up on your weekend walk there while we're doing this. We're going to go there. I certainly plan to visit this brewery, Grin. I like the vibe and the beers.
They had a barrel house, too, which sounded kind of cool.
And I think because I have the tasting glass, I've obviously been there. So I've been to Monocacy Brewing. And I'm sure once I see it again, I'll remember it. And I know I've been to Attaboy Beer. But number two, I have not been to, and I'm kind of excited to check it out. It's called Midnight Run Brewing. The beer selection was really good and tasting. And number one, your favorite Frederick beer and mine. And if we don't make it to this brewery, I'll be okay because I'm sure this beer even exists. It relocated from your neck of the woods.
Yes. Flying Dog.
Flying Dog. Flying Dog came from Colorado, right?
Yes, yes. Their brewery in Colorado like burned down or something, and they're like, let's move somewhere else. And they started
where
back
there's
up.
Water, as opposed to being in the high desert.
They started up here a while ago, like over 20 years ago.
Yeah, they took
maybe
over
15,
Frederick Brewing
ago.
Company.
Yeah.
Who apparently went out of business when they found out for years they were taking water without paying for
it.
And when the water bill
they
came in.
They overexpanded. They.
Was it called Blue Ridge?
Yeah,
Brewing
they were
Company?
Listed on the public market.
Yeah.
And they were they weren't paying for their water.
Nope. And when the bill came due, they disappeared.
Yes.
But I do remember that, because for a while I thought, didn't those guys take over the Wild Goose?
They took Wild Goose, Blue Ridge, and Frederick Brewing, or maybe that was their new parent company name. They took over a few different area regional breweries and kind of put it all under the Frederick.
Because Wild Goose was a great beer back in the 90s.
That was on kind of the Eastern Shore area.
Yes, it was out.
Or not, maybe not the shore.
Cambridge.
But yeah, the
I was wearing that T-shirt with our two dead friends. Like, if you look at that picture, I'm wearing a Wild Goose brewery from when I went to a brew tour there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, it's not
awesome
still
have
that there's
t-shirt?
Two dead friends. No, yeah. I do not sell that T-shirt. I did love that T-shirt, and I completely forgot about it until I saw that photograph. Tying it all together.
Yes.
Bringing it all. It's all about beer, Chris.
All about beer.
So
all
there's
right.
Our Listomania, and we got the top five cities in Maryland to boot. Any final thoughts about this
grapefruit? Well, not really. Coast? I mean, I don't know. It's okay. Let's grab the final beer in the thing on the talking loud so Mike's chewing is not.
Forgot we're doing a live podcast. Put
no,
a really
no,
chewy taro chip.
Oh,
in
this
mine.
One. Okay, we've had. Oh, this is another one from Idiom, right? Yeah. So we did a video episode of this one, but we thought we'd throw it in for fun to this group.
Prep us up for our trip to Idiom.
Yeah, and we thought it would be a good idea to kind of have this be the last one because this one has a lot more flavor than the previous ones. This guy is called Carrot Top from Idiom Brewing Company.
And what's really interesting about the can is it comes with a prop.
What?
That's not true. I made that up. But Carrot Top is a famous prop comedian. Now, come on, dude. That is pure carrot water. That is like orange.
Yeah, it's very orange.
And the head even takes on, it's very tight bubbles too, but not white, tan.
Yes. Mine fell pretty quickly. Yours is hanging around a little bit longer.
It is. Could have been the pour. The bubbles are definitely holding on to the side. Nice cut glass I'm using here. You know what color and this what this looks like to me? Second time I'm going to bring this topic up in less than a week. A Bass Ale.
Yes, yes.
If any of you recall the great British Bass Ale, that was a 90s go-to.
Woo!
This has that look, but let's go with it. Oh, this smells like carrot cake.
Yes. And taste it. It tastes even more like carrot cake than it smells.
Oh my God, this tastes like carrot cake. This doesn't taste like a beer.
Which was our surprising reaction in the video episode on youtube.com/CNBC podcast. Here's what they say. 5.1% blonde ale. We took your favorite classic cake with all the spices you love and expect and put it in a delicious blonde ale. If the aroma alone doesn't get you, a few sips will have you hooked.
I mean, if you want carrot cake in a can,
yes,
this is it.
If you want to drink a carrot cake,
this is actually, you know when you have like a very savory meal and you want just a smidge of a dessert but not a whole thing, like a 4 ounce pour of this would satisfy that sweet tooth thing.
I would not like a 4-pack of this drinking.
Oh no!
In an evening, it
would be
overwhelming.
I'm thinking splitting one of these. What are these can sizes?
16 ounces.
Yeah,
you could split one. Yeah,
I think splitting one of these four ways is perfect. Two ways might be a little too much. But it has a very, very strong taste. But I think this is like good in small packages. But it delivers on its marketing, and it's very orange themed in its label. There is a carrot. Couture with frizzy orange hair that I guess is supposed to be reminiscent of Carrot Top, the famous comedian, with a brick wall behind, etc. So I think it's a very, very excellent marketing product.
Yes.
There, and it pours just what it promises. It's orange and it's like carrot cake in a can, and if you weren't wanting that, you should not have purchased this beer.
All right.
If you did want that, it hits the mark and there's no complaints.
Before we wind up this beer, let me just read a little bit about what Idiom says about themselves, because this is an interesting story. We began our craft beering journey during a trip to visit friends who had recently moved to a small town outside Portland, Oregon, 10 years ago. During the trip, we hiked the trails near Multnomah Falls, saw the sights in downtown Portland, including the absolutely epic stop at Voodoo Donuts, which involved bacon and maple iced eclair, and drank some of the finest beer that Oregon has to offer. While there, our friend invited us to brew a stovetop batch, an Irish Red to be exact. We happily agreed and loved every bit of it. We came home with an undying passion for craft brew and brewing. That initial stovetop batch has evolved into brewing countless recipes, which have spanned a wide range of styles and experimental flavors. The rest, as they say, is history.
But what are your thoughts on their story? And does that make you want to visit their brewery any more or less?
More, yes. I like the idea of the different kind of flavors and stuff.
They definitely have really cool. But I think I shared this with you before. But they have the whole gamut of flavors, but there are also things like s'mores, and like, so it'd be like a smoky beer with marshmallowy things. So like,
you could say that they're kind of like pushing the boundaries of the beers. Like those two IPAs that we had, they were pushing IPA boundaries.
They definitely were unique.
Yes.
Right. Like, and it's still enjoyable. Like, I know we have this, love
balance
thing
may
with
not
dog.
Be something they understand,
right? But Dogfish Head, like, they like go out to do something and they do it. It's just not something I necessarily like. The stuff from Idiom is
this
like
stuff I like.
They're going for is like that's a flavor I'd want to experience. I may not love it, but I definitely want to try it.
Yeah,
you know, and they had some good. I think they also had some kind of habanero sweet mix too before, like really cool stuff, and they nail it. So, like, even if you don't like that flavor profile, it's worth just seeing how they pull it off in a beer.
Yes.
I think I'm always impressed with that, too. You know, they've got the magic and the science.
Yes. All right, the four beers we had tonight. The first two were from Elder Pine Brewing. One was the Mexican-style lager, Cerveza Vio Pino. The second one was Lemon Lime Reflections, a fruited wit beer. Then we went to the Black Flag Brewing Company's Grapefruit Kolsch.
From the Crispy Boy.
And, yes, and we finished it off with Idiom Brewing's Carrot Top. Mike, which of these beers was your favorite?
So, you know what my favorite thing is? Is we've reached that apex that craft breweries not only are making good, that you can't go wrong. Like, of the four beers, none of these things were terrible. I think the market's been so saturated by craft brewing now that only the good ones are surviving and maintaining and sustaining.
There are a lot. There have been recently a number of beer closings in Denver from, I think, oversaturation. And so, like, you have to be something special, either in location or beer or something, to survive nowadays.
Right, and if you're going to go through the effort of distribution, you sure as shit better have decent beers.
You cannot be, like, we've got an amber and a light pilsner, right, and a IPA and a stout. No, you've got to be doing something unique.
And I mean, you know, with the social medias, people talk, and there is a beer culture. I mean, we haven't tapped into it. After 12 years, we've still managed not to connect to anybody else's beer culture. But I'm sure there's others out there. But, you know, I know, like, there's certain breweries now in this mid-Atlantic area that anything by them, if I see a can of it,
you'll grab it.
I'll drop $18 for a four-pack. I was like, yeah, I'm rarely going to be dissatisfied. So I'm glad that these four beers all kind of hit that mark of, like, I got what I paid for and I'm not disappointed. And I know
still have yet to pick one.
I'll sample these again. So that said, all of these things, the reason I go through that whole dialogue is it kind of is mood dependent on what I think I would like here. So I got to be honest, of all the beers we had, because we just cleaned out a garage, I still haven't bathed, it's outside, there's bugs flying around. My favorite taste profile of the entire day so far was the combination of the two Elder Pines together. So the lemon lime mixed with the cerveza was a cool flavor experience, which wasn't exactly what you asked, but I felt with all the other backgrounds.
No, that's legitimate.
They're all good. There was none of the beers that displeased my palate.
It was your custom blend that you're going with.
All right. I like that one the best. And I'm actually gonna have another sip of that.
My favorite was probably the Lemon Lime Reflections from Elder Pine. I think kind of what you were saying. Like, what am I in the mood for right now? A lemon lime, almost Sprite, but without the sweetness.
Without
beer
the sugar, yeah.
Is what sounds like and feels through, real good right now.
We were kicking up a bunch of wood chips and dust, and there was a lot of sweat and just. But then you get that cut through. That's actually, now I'm going to try the grapefruit. End this while we're still talking and finishing up. I'm going to do another blend
of the grapefruit.
I'm going to try to count Cerveza, like, Viejo Pino.
Oh, you pronounce that much better than I did.
With the grapefruit Kolsch.
Try to offset a little bit of that grapefruitiness.
Mm-hmm. Let's see that. And then you're going to have a sip of this too if you want. I'm definitely not mixing the carrot into this one. But see, after I do all of this, I'm going to want to finish with the carrot. That's where my head is with these beers.
Carrot definitely has a lot more flavor.
Oh, that's pretty damn good. Because I put in less of the grapefruit, mm-hmm, so they get more of the...
I get a lot of the grapefruit still cutting through.
Still?
Yeah.
Mm.
More than, like, the previous one where you had the lemon lime.
Yeah, the lemon lime was up top. Let me do that. Maybe it's because I didn't mix it. Because I didn't put my thumb over the top and squirt it all.
Who to what?
Like that shotgun we did. All right, so any other final thoughts, Mr. Steinig?
No, let's end this one.
All right, so...
after that motorcycle, Bees Rude.
That's definitely a good cutout. We'll just have all the cutouts will be the motorcycles going by. Thanks for listening to CNBC episode 118. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or Chrome Playbook or any of your podcatchers out there, or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.com.
Email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com.
Especially you guys in Ghana.
We'd love to hear from you. Facebook.com/cnbcpodcast and youtube.com/cnbcpodcast. We've popped out a couple of great video episodes over the last week, so we'll be trickling those out.
Do you know what's crazy about our video episodes? For those of you who care, you can watch men age over 12 years, and like, you know, I thought I looked bad then, and then I look at myself now and I was like, I should have appreciated what I had. For those of you younger than us, live the now.
You can also follow us on Twitter at CNBC Podcast. What's your quote this week, Mike?
My quote this week is, everybody's got to believe in something. I believe I'll have another beer.
Cheers.
Cheers, W.C. Fields.
Drink good beer.
Drink good beer.
In the pines, where the sun never shines, and a shiver when the cold winds blow.
That's a pretty damn good story.
Yeah.
Got to be honest, didn't listen to a word you said.
You were checking your messages. On
I was trying to line up our next guest for our next podcast.
The caboose went by at nine. In the pines, where the sun never shines. And a shiver when the cold wind